Good evening. Tonight, I would like to talk about love. And I think the most intense feeling for us human beings is the aspiration for love. And, of course, it's a very big subject in American life, and very big subject for people everywhere, not just this country. Love can make us feel very high, and love can make us feel very low. And the idea of love can be a bit confusing. We think we know what it means, but do we actually know its meaning? Do we really know the meaning of love? Our society says that love is the most important thing in life. You know the saying, love makes the world go around. You can't say much more than that about anything. Love makes the world go around. Well, the engine. So love is perhaps the primary force of our culture, of our popular culture. And ideas of love or the influence of love, well, it influences how we dress. It influences the activities that we choose to do, the places that we go. It influences who we associate with. All these things we do in our everyday life are influenced by love. It is a very big theme, especially in music. And music is always a reflection of a culture, of a society. Music portrays how a society feels and what is important to it. And these days, you know, our popular music is almost all love songs. And country music is almost all heartbreak, if you listen to it. And even some classical music, opera especially, emphasizes love or the loss of love or the pursuit of love, or big theme in music, and it reflects what goes on in the society. Music is usually the passion one person has for another person. Passion, consuming passion. And the message is that love consumes our attention. And it is very difficult to be happy in life without feeling love. So what is the meaning of this love that we think about, we dream about, and that we sing about? When we want love, or when we feel we need love and it's not happening, we become very anxious. But when we have love or feel we are loved, we are very happy. And when we lose it, When we once have it but lose it, we become very sad and we grieve. That's what all those songs are about. And if we had love and but feel that it has been taken away, anger arises, and it affects our entire life. And when we do have love, but our need is so strong that what we have is not enough, we're not satisfied. So these ups and downs in our emotion, depending upon what we're doing with love, these ups and downs tell us that love is felt to be something like a personal possession, something outside of ourselves, something to get, something to obtain, and then something to possess. But as we know from the teachings and from our practice, the desire to possess only leads to suffering. So if we as an individual, if we have feelings of love and we feel that we are loved, then we can become a very, very nice person. We will feel generous and friendly and thoughtful and unselfish and courteous when we feel love. We feel that way to other people, especially another person. We feel warm to the whole world when we have love. But when we lose the feeling of love, we can easily forget about courtesy and about generosity and about friendliness. And we can feel isolated and rejected. When we experience love in this way, when our state of being depends on whether we feel we have love or we don't have love, when we experience love that way, then we are relying on someone else to make us feel fulfilled. And this is the usual way people live. This is the usual way people live, seeking for things in the everyday world that make us feel complete. When love becomes one of the things in the everyday world that we feel we need to be complete, then we make love into a commodity. And this is not the real meaning of love. Commodity. So we, all of us, come to practice because we have become tired of pursuing. We have experienced the futility of chasing after things of the everyday world. And we've become frustrated because we have been relying on things. Relying on things and feelings to satisfy the deepest part of ourselves. So we come to practice, we search for practice because we want our life to feel more than a futile effort of pursuit. and never feeling completely satisfied. So we come to practice in order to change our orientation, to find a new understanding. We want to change from pursuing satisfaction that we hope will come to us in the future to putting our emphasis on the present moment. This is a totally different orientation. So when we practice, after a while, obtaining success in the future or obtaining something in the future becomes less important than success in the present. And success in the present is not about obtaining a commodity or achieving a goal. It's the usual idea of success, but in our practice, this is not what success is. Not about obtaining some commodity, physical or emotional, material or emotional. That's the usual understanding. But true success is being fully present in this moment. To be fully present is to be experiencing success. So the emphasis of Zen practice is not to sacrifice the present life by pursuing some future wish. Instead, when we practice, life becomes the continuity of the present moment. When we don't feel generous, or we don't feel kind, we don't feel friendly towards others, we may say to ourselves, well, look, I will become a nice person when I have love. Or, I need love to make me feel open to others. And this, of course, is a misunderstanding. It's the same as saying, oh, when I'm rich, then I will become generous. But actually, you know, we don't need dollars or we don't need riches to have a generous mind. In other words, we don't need to possess some commodity to be complete. We are complete without commodities. So as we know, as we have read and have, as we have heard, Buddhism emphasizes compassion. Be generous and caring and thoughtful to everyone, to all things. To feel that way, not just to one person or to some things that make us feel good. Because compassion is love in the universal sense. Usually, the usual feeling about love is it's between two people. But in our practice, love is universal compassion. to everyone, everything, not just to one individual. Compassion is love in the universal sense, without limits and without feeling restricted. And this is true whether or not some personal desire is satisfied. We cannot create a compassionate mind through willpower alone. That is the same as having an ambition to attain some commodity. Our compassionate nature arises without intervention. When we simply practice, when we allow our mind to give up the pursuit of commodities, including love. So our practice is about continuing to have a limitless mind each moment, which means not sacrificing the present for something that's in the future or in the past. The limitless mind of each moment is to don't sacrifice the present. And not sacrificing the present is the foundation of compassion. Then we can be filled with feelings of generosity towards everyone. And this is the same mind as being in love. Without the excitement. It is a boundless feeling. It is a sense of giving ourselves up to the world and allowing the world to possess us, not the other way around. And this giving up is not about losing, and it's not about surrendering. Giving up ourself means to gain everything by giving up pursuing and being in love with the life we have. Being in love with the life we have rather than the things in it. And this is called selflessness. It's the best gift we can give to ourselves. It doesn't mean we should not or cannot feel love for another person when we feel close to someone. Only we should be careful not to let personal love put a limit on our life. Instead, when our sense of personal love is not possessive, that is universal love. You know what I mean? So, love is like any other feeling or emotion. All of which arise in us because we are human. love and all the other emotions are responses to the events of our life, to the events and the relationships of our life. And like love, many emotions are very strong. And as we know, they can overwhelm a rational mind and also affect us physically. And like love, they can carry us away. And when we get carried away by love or any other emotion, we're no longer in the present moment. And we become self-oriented when we are carried away. So instead, we overcome our sense of self-orientation and not put limits on our being in the world. When we do put limits on ourself, on our being in the world, those are the times when we absolutely must return to awareness, return to the present moment. Even though those strong emotions and feelings are there. And one of the lectures in Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, Suzuki Roshi says, Zen is not some form of excitement. Well, we could say authentic love is not some form of excitement. When we are selfless and our compassion arises, the love that we feel is universal and has no ups and downs. It's always with us. Does anyone have a question tonight?
Sounded like it's not love itself, but it's the pursuit of love that we want to watch out for. And I'm hearing you say that we don't want to put limits on ourselves. Is it exactly that pursuit of something outside of ourselves that puts a limit, as if it's what I could go and get, as opposed to what could come get me?
Yes. when we live a life of pursuit, we are putting narrow limits on our life. It's only when we stop pursuing that we can feel our limitlessness. Thank you.
So you mentioned if you focus on the present, compassion will arise. Could you explain that a bit more? And I feel sometimes that's a challenge I have, that compassion comes and goes, and it's very hard to stay in being compassionate.
When you feel a strong urge to want to stay present, when you feel you don't want the sense of compassion to drift away, when you feel that strongly, you will be inspired to practice. To give your mind a chance to let go of the things that it feels it must pursue. The more you practice, the longer you practice, the more you see that those objects of our desire aren't so important after all, that there is something greater that's more important. So the only technique for such a dilemma is to practice. Thank you.
How do you practice feeling compassion for someone who's done something extremely wrong? And specifically, how do you avoid feeling the emotion of pity for them as opposed to compassion for them?
When we feel that someone has done something harmful or has a habit of doing that, before we condemn, before we get angry, before we want revenge, we have to acknowledge that that person is suffering. I don't believe that human beings do harmful things if they don't feel that they have been harmed or they are being harmed now. It's only when we suffer are we at risk for doing harmful things. So when we experience someone like that, well, We have to know that they are suffering. And starting from there, starting from that compassionate mind, then we can determine what's the best way to respond. Because there's no formula, no one thing. The response to someone who's creating harm is a bit different in each case, depending upon where their suffering is coming from. So we try to understand the other person before we start to think about how should we treat it. And this desire to understand is a form of compassion. Thank you.
Well, my question is similar. Sometimes in a relationship, it's unhealthy. You know, it's not. It could be codependency or in the realm of addiction or mental illness. So we have the concept of tough love, where you have to do something unpleasant or maybe discontinue the contact for the other person or for yourself. Like, I'm wondering how the idea of tough love relates, and it's similar to the previous question that came up.
I think that the meaning of tough, the tough part of tough love, I think we get tough when we see or we know that there is stubbornness and that displaying generosity and kindness and compassion to another person is not sufficient because the mind is stuck. So we use the tough side is to help with that, to loosen the toughness. Tough part of tough love is trying to help the other person see how they are limiting themselves. And it's, you know, it requires some action, some activity. So it goes beyond expressing some feelings. You know, the tragedy of these shootings recently And certain public figures say, you know, our prayers and thoughts go out to all these people, and then some critics of that say, that's all you do is send out these words. Do something. If you do something, you have to get tough and do something. Do more than the words. And that's tough love. Do something. Figure out, find out some way to do something to get the problem resolved. Thanks, Richard.
So my question is about loving yourself. So it seems to me that to love and accept yourself, you have to, in some part, be attached to the way that you are and the things that you like to do and even the stuff that you have that makes you you. So how can we fully love and accept ourselves while still remaining true to our practice?
Attachment will get in the way. It's very hard to feel good about ourselves, to love ourselves, if we require that we have this. You know, if I don't have this, I don't like myself. That's kind of foolish, you know. I can like myself, I can love myself, whether I have this or not. What the pressure is on these days, we teach us the opposite. You must have this. You must have the latest. It's a bit of a burden. We have to learn to be wary of what kind of pressure that comes from all over different sources. It's a good question, as I sometimes ask myself, if for some reason I couldn't come here anymore and be with you, would I be okay? Am I attached to all of this? Sometimes in life we have to give up some things that have made us feel comfortable and feel good. We lose them, or they're taken away, or they move away, or something. If we have a strong practice, we can continue feeling confident and strong and good about ourselves, even if we lose what has seemed so vital to us.